What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I mean, it's spring.
It is spring. Well, it's still kind of cold, though. It's just bright. Supposed to snow tomorrow.
We're recording this on Easter Sunday.
Yeah! Easter Sunday. That's some positive juices.
You know, Barack Obama was president once.
Guys, we're struggling to find.
It's starting to get sad.
We're struggling to find a cold open because the movie we're doing. Honestly, I didn't think it was going to be that. I didn't think watching it was going to be this topical. Low key, I thought. Cause I hadn't watched it since I was younger. I didn't realize. I was like, oh, would it be about? Because you know they had the March for Our Lives recently, mm-hmm. which is what inspired me to pick this movie. Mm-hmm. But the movie wasn't just about gun violence. It was about way more, and it caught me off guard because I was like, oh. Oh, no.
If you release this movie today, not one person would say, not one person would think, is this a dated movie?
Yeah, everything is relevant. And the movie came out in 1995.
And there's so many different topics. Like, there's so many different issues that it talks about. And every single one of them is relevant. In fact, the only thing, I mean, spoiler, because we're going to talk about this whole movie. The only thing that felt unreal was how little people died at the end of the movie.
Yes. Because you know what?
I was like, oh, this was a good one.
Want me to tell you
only
crazy?
Two.
Want me to
only
tell you
two fatalities.
Yeah. But I will say is what makes it different and is sad about it is that the gun would be different.
Right.
The gun would be different.
Yeah. In a weird way, it was pro gun control.
Guys, I just want to say I'm happy that we're doing this movie, but I'm also very sad and I feel like I owe you two an apology. Like I don't, because it's no, like no. I don't want it. Like we're recording again on Easter Sunday, and the movie's too. Oh, should we just
guns in schools? I mean, you know.
And then it's so crazy because they have security.
James is broken.
James is just broken somewhere. James, you all right, brother?
Yeah, I mean, why? You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry.
There are ways in which this movie is exactly what's happening right now that I don't even think the movie realizes.
honestly, I'm so sorry. I like watching. Honestly, when the first scenario happened to the girl, I was like, this is crazy. Like, this is 1995. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I'm pretty sure if you put this movie out in 1985, it would be the same thing. It's like, we're just on some loop. We're literally on a loop now.
On a time loop.
This is crazy.
Oh, snap. Well, what if we are on a time loop?
Dude, we're just, everything, like, we're just.
Well, we're in a computer simulation. Like, that's true.
I mean, we're in the Matrix, for sure.
That's just, like, a real thing about the world.
Oh, is that right? Why?
We're in a computer simulation, and there are just all sorts of things that, you know. The program is running, you know. The program is running, and then we get an update every now and again with new features. But it's all the same shit. It's all the same shit, just packaged. The packaging just looks a little different each time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, I don't even. Should we?
I guess. Where did you learn that from?
Where did I learn that we were in a computer simulation from?
The Matrix, with also starring Lawrence Fishburne.
no, that's just like a theory about right today. That's like a just sort of like a common theory
that you
of
got
the theory of the theories that we all have. You know, right, that's right. Just one of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. I definitely, I don't even care about this transition, to be honest with you. I don't.
I mean,
I don't. I mean, I don't even care about it. I'm depressed.
I mean, it's definitely tough.
I'm depressed. I don't think there's any higher learning to happen.
That didn't work. That wasn't a good one.
No, I know.
This is just sad now. That's okay. Nick, start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say? You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Wait, I'm nervous because when I do Hollywood City, I don't know the sound effect James is going to do, and I'm scared.
Oh, I'm not going to do one. Okay. I'm already resigned.
All right, cool. Hollywood City.
All right, he's not
just
doing
out
it.
Of respect. You know,
honestly,
what I mean?
I love that silence.
Silence for the victory.
I love that silence. Sound effect. I love that silence.
I could have said,
no, don't do this. Don't do this.
Are you trying to figure out what you're trying to
do? Don't do this. Don't do this.
No.
Could have
said,
don't do I'm this. So depressed. I just want to get high or learning.
No. 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 No, John.
How is that?
No. No.
I like the one that you did, though, because the one that you did, like, it is the lesson of the movie, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Okay, for those of you who never listened to our podcast before, why? Again, why are you listening to... Why is this the first one? Go back and listen to a happier episode. Now, go listen to Black Panther.
I know, right? Listen to everything. Listen to a happy one.
Go listen to Black, Get Out.
Listen to Black Panther before you listen to this.
Come on. Don't do this to yourself. For all those
no, jobs. Okay, have the wake-up call. Have the wake-up call. This is the world.
This is the world.
This is the world we in.
We review films of leading black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And today we are reviewing the 1995 John Singleton film, Higher Learning, starring Omar Epps.
Tyra Banks.
Lawrence Fishburne is in this. Ice Cube. Of course, we also have Jennifer Connelly. We have Michael Rapaport.
Yeah.
And what was the woman?
Jennifer Connelly. Did you say Jennifer Connelly already?
Yeah, I did.
Wait, I got it up.
Kristen. What was her name?
Her name is right here. Christy Swanson.
Christy Swanson. Her character's name is Kristen Connor.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. This film... it takes place on a college campus, a fictional college called Columbia University. It follows the lives of three freshmen, I guess, technically. You have Omar Epps, Malik Williams, who's a track star. He, you know, who starts to become kind of...
Yeah, because...
He hates the fact that he has to run track in order for him to go to college.
Yeah. He just wants to be able to learn and not have to worry about, like, track. Because basically he has that thing where, you know, people tell you you got to work twice as hard. And that's kind of what Lawrence Fishburne says to him at one point. He's mm-hmm. like, what are you going to do if someone's better than you? You got to go harder.
What's great about it is he doesn't tell him to do it. He lets him come to that decision on his own, which is, I think, the best way to do that lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also have Christy Swanson playing Kristen, who she is just, you know, an Orange County girl who is actually running out of money.
Because her dad lost her job,
but she's just trying to enjoy the sorority frat boy life. But then she gets date raped, and that kind of obviously messes
Changes
her
everything.
Up. Changes the course of her direction, so she kind of... just is trying to overcome that or reconcile with that throughout the whole movie. And then you have Michael Rapaport's character, Remy, who's just this awkward dude, has no friends, and then gets involved with some skinheads.
Yep. I mean, the thing that's so hard about it is I went to a PWS, predominantly white school or whatever. So what Omar Epps was going through, I remember, like, on, I probably put this up on the podcast numerous times, but are we just going into the movie? Because I'm about to reference, like, the first scene.
Oh, I mean, well.
Are you doing Nurse's Thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, well, let me just say this movie made not that much money. It made $38 million in the box office. I couldn't find how much it cost to make. I don't know if anybody else saw that.
No, I mean, I tried to look it up. It couldn't have been that much because no one was big in this movie.
It couldn't have been that much, yeah.
Yeah, no one was.
Jennifer Connelly was first billed.
I think she was on, I think, yeah, because at this point she had Labyrinth and, like, she kind of was like a kid actress. And I think Christy Swanson, her face looks familiar because she was Buffy.
She was Buffy.
She was Buffy. And I think Buffy had already come out too.
Yeah. And what else do I need to say? Oh, the reviews are very mixed, though, and, like, Rotten Tomatoes is, like, 49%. I think, like, yeah. It, like, people like it, but also there's problems in the movie, which we can talk about, too, for sure. But it also, this movie, sorry, let me just pep up my voice. This movie...
I know, be happy, please.
...is about all of these different issues colliding on a college campus. You have race, you have sexual assault, you have... LGBTQ rights, kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
And then, of course, you have just the school shooting.
It's tough, man.
So, yeah. All right, initial thoughts. Here we go.
I'll go first.
Jarrah.
This is my thing. Watching the movie again, like, I suggested it because I was like, oh, this. I wanted to do something because, you know, we had to march for our lives and march for our lives. And then, again, I've been watching, like, the news a lot lately and just seeing how people keep treating these kids.
Right.
And, like, people are attacking these kids. And I come from the South. My family's from the South. So
talking about the NRA.
Yeah, the NRA. And also Fox News has been attacking these kids, yo. Like, I mean, same, the NRA. Yeah, you're right. So I just want to do something about, I was trying to figure out how we could talk about it in our wheelhouse. And, you know, this was the movie directed by, you know, like, by John Singleton, who was mad young when he did this. Because, I mean, he still was in his 20s.
Right. This was only his. This was his third film.
Yeah. He was still in his 20s. He wasn't even in late 20s yet. Mid 20s.
Because he was very young when he did Boys in the Hood.
Yeah. 23 by the time it came out.
And then Poetic Justice.
Yeah. So he was like 25, 26. And this was like 28.
His third film.
So I guess he was late 20s. But the thing that was crazy about it is it just felt so honest. It did, man. It felt so honest. Like the scene opened with Mike Epps and Christy on the elevator, and she holds her purse just a little bit tight. I mean, that happened to me 3 days ago.
Right.
Like, I'm not even joking.
Right.
3 days ago, I saw someone grip their purse. And then I remember being in college, and I just remember little, and it's so crazy because when you see something like that, you, as a black person, to me, as a black man, I wonder, oh, maybe because I'm a dude, just you don't know me, maybe you're just like, or maybe you just happened to grab it at the time I looked. But then there's also that second thought of, or did you grab that because I can't? You know, it's like, is that you always are trying to figure out, is your mind playing racist tricks on you? Or is the world just doing stuff that you're trying to justify?
Right.
You know, it's like, oh man, maybe this can't be racist as well. And I thought this movie did a good job of, like, not only playing what the racial aspect of it is, but also what women go through in college. And also, Michael Rapaport's character, like, to me, I understand what he ended up becoming, but I've seen that guy in college. I've seen that guy in high school. Like after Columbine, there was two people in my school in particular who everyone walked on eggshells around because, again, there were people who were looking for friends. To me, he was like the Frankenstein monster.
Right.
And I bring up Frankenstein so much because I feel like people don't, you know, really know what the book's about. And, like, Frankenstein is innocent. Frankenstein just wanted, like, love and happiness and, you know, all the stuff. Well, he didn't know what it was. But he just wanted to be accepted in the world. The world affected him in a way where he became angry.
Right.
And you see little instances where this dude tries and people just lash out at him because he, like, again, he doesn't know any better. And I'm not saying that's an excuse for him, but it's just so interesting to see that they didn't make him into a straight up villain.
Right.
They showed how a person like that becomes what they become. So I'm shocked this movie didn't make that much money, honestly. I'm surprised it didn't get any type of, I don't know, any type of acknowledgement, because I feel like if this movie came out nowadays, it would be relevant and it would get some type of attention. You know, like, I'm really surprised it didn't get any. I'm surprised like it didn't get any type of love, because I thought the you telling me Omar Epps ain't performing this movie, bro?
Right. Yeah.
That last scene. How is he not famous?
I mean, he is.
He famous, is, but he's black famous.
Right.
How is this dude? Because I feel like this is the second movie we've done with him, or third?
Yeah. He was at
Love and Basketball.
Juice.
Like, how?
I mean, he was in a lot of movies.
My man is, I don't know. Like, I won't say I enjoyed this movie, but I really respect this movie. Mm. So,
James, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
You can go.
For me, it was interesting. I mean, yes, like we already said, one of the things that stuck out to me the most when watching this film was the fact that every issue that they covered is in almost the exact same place that it was then today. So with the exception of maybe, like, people have a little bit more acceptance of gay and lesbians, but like,
yeah, nowadays,
it still feels pretty relevant. Like, and I mean, definitely the sexual harassment, like, it was like,
oh my God.
The fact that this has been happening on college campuses for so, so long, and it took until just like celebrities getting outed for people to start recognizing this in a way that you hope will continue. But it's hard to not be jaded when you see how long this history is and how much people just don't really care. Like, society kind of allows it to continues to allow it to happen. And then the race stuff is like, you know, it's so hard because, I mean, for me, the issue stuck out the most. I thought the acting was really good. I actually thought Ice Cube was like,
oh my,
maybe
goodness,
the greatest I've ever seen.
He was so good.
I loved his character. I thought his character was so great. And I love that John Singleton allowed his character to have a little bit of like winning moments, you know, because he talks back to this campus security a lot and like gets away with it. Yeah, like,
well,
you know what I mean?
What's
like,
so crazy about,
which was kind of cool.
You even saying that, which I'm finding interesting nowadays, is that you even being like him talking back, like he got away with talking back, whereas like people normally should be able to say something back.
Right.
But
for sure.
Because he's a black dude, like we're also like, it's so crazy because like as a black dude, we're like, oh man, you shouldn't talk back. And when you talk back, you're rebellion. You're rebelling. And it's like, yeah. I'm doing what every other human would normally do.
Yeah, you're right. I should rephrase that.
No, but I think about it too.
But he got away with sticking up for him, with defending himself and the people around him.
Which is crazy I remember when, that's crazy that when you think about it, you saying, if a cop stops you on the street for something you didn't do, the moment you say, but I didn't do anything, now you're
talking back.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that not crazy?
No, it is kind of. It is crazy. Of course.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but when you said that, I was like, my God.
Yeah.
He said little things of like, I hope y'all shut their party down like y'all did ours. And it's like,
right.
That's so real.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
Lawrence Fishburne was really good in this, though I didn't know how to feel about his character for a long time.
Yeah.
But I wound up really liking that. And I thought Jennifer Connelly was really great.
I thought she was great.
And Mike Rappaport was good too. It was a weird role. Like, he had to just play a really weird guy. Yeah. Like, just a guy that you're kind of disturbed by even before he actually goes into his like Aryan brotherhood.
But then you almost feel sympathetic for like,
no, yeah. And, I, like, and that was cool. I appreciated that to an extent. I will say, I think the movie did have some storytelling problems. Like, it would just drop storylines at certain points for long periods of time, then kind of come back. But like, a lot of things weren't resolved at the end. Like, we kind of just completely lost Kristen's.
Yeah, what happened with a date?
We're hurt her, like, because she's like dating two people at the same time, a man and a woman. And,
oh, yeah, I guess we do.
And we never, like, there's no real conclusion to that in any way. And, like, and then the tie-up with her and Omar at the end, I, like, almost forgot about the fact that they had seen each other in the elevator. Because when she's like, we never, it's like, oh, it's so funny we never met. And he kind of, like, looked at her and he's like, yeah, funny. And then I was like, damn, why he just throw shade at her? Oh, right. She was in the other.
it's that thing we always talk about. It's like we always have to get to the point of like proving that we're like good people.
Right. Right.
It's like, nah, he was a nice dude then.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, they're like, John Singleton was like, well, I wanted to play with unconventional storytelling. But like some things were unconventional, but some things were very conventional. So. There were just some parts of the movie that kind of dropped out. And the only other thing I'll say is that they were talking a lot. I mean, like Ice Cube's character had so many great lines in this movie. Mm-hmm. And he talked a lot about, oh, no, and so did Omar Epps. Omar Epps said, like, it's, you know, I know what you're trying to say, but it's different now. It's not all physical. It's mental.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Which I thought was such a great line. But then the movie is mostly about the physical, and I was like, "Cool, so like you said it, but then I feel like you're giving people an out because they're gonna look at this and go, "Yeah, we're not Nazis."
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, once you have people who just have like swastikas on their body, mm-hmm. and they're like, "We're about the Aryan Brotherhood," and like we hate all, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
once you have it so overt, then you lose the racial underpinning because then in a way you're almost saying like, see, it's justified because even though I will say, obviously you had Charlottesville that happened. So it's like those people are here still. That's true. It's like a real threat, but there's this other thing that allows those people to continue to exist, which is, you know, the subtle unconscious bias, you know, the systemic racism that isn't overt, but it's still very present.
I think they had
I guess the security guards.
The security guards to me were like supposed to represent that, but then even that got physical.
Yeah, exactly. So I still like the movie, and all of the issues that they brought up were so relevant that it kind of didn't matter. But there were certain like storytelling parts that I was like, oh, this could have probably been a little stronger, but yeah. But it was heavy. All right, that's one. Wait, James,
what you got, James?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think this is like my second or maybe third time seeing this movie. But then when the movie started and Jennifer Connelly's name is first, I was like, have I seen this movie? Like,
I couldn't remember her
being in it at all.
Like, her character is not that big.
And the opening theme is too happy. The opening theme to this movie was so happy. Yeah, I was like, what is this?
Is like super happy. I feel like this is one of those movies where, like, it starts and you're like, I'm not going to let this get to me, you know? And that might be part of why the movie didn't get as much play as it deserved. Because, like, it opens with the American flag. Like, right after that title sequence, it's just the American flag, right? Yeah. And you're like, okay. And I think that, like, I feel like for as relevant and for as... how it like it's a movie that came out in 95, we said, and it's still relevant today. Like, for even a movie that's that good or that smart, or you know, it still probably had that thing for people that they were like, oh no, I can't, you know, these lessons, I won't swallow any of these lessons,
right?
I thought Omar Epps was fantastic. I thought Tyra Banks did a great job. I didn't love the pacing at times. I thought the pacing was weird, and I thought the music took me out of it a bit. But I really like what it's saying, and I really like the way that they try to tell it. I also kind of like that things are left unresolved. I kind of feel like yes, there are some things that are told conventionally, but there's probably pushback coming from higher ups that are like, this needs to make sense. We just need to understand blank. But to really make this movie successful, it's like, leave things leave things unresolved, particularly if you're ending on the shooting and not beginning with the shooting. You know, like leave things sort of like, what was that? Because that's more how things, I think, are, which is, I think, is sort of a thing that's better about the movie. But I, you know, I have other individual thoughts that I guess we could talk about when we get to them. But.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess it's for me, it was like less about unresolved and more about not presenting a conflict that you were setting up in a way.
Yeah,
specifically with that storyline. Anyway, so we're going to get into it. But before we do, we have a word from our sponsor. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Just so y'all know, I've been saving up since I was like 18 in case my hairline goes.
Is that right?
Honestly, I wish this was a bit, but it's not a bit. Like, I can't grow a beard, so I'm very nervous about not having hair.
That's a real problem for a lot of men.
I mean, 66% of men lose their hair by age 35.
That's two-thirds.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. So it's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost.
Well, I get to keep the hair I have?
Yeah, man. Head on over to Hims.
Hims?
ForHims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men.
Wow. Because you know what I mean? Like, if you want to have good hair, you got to get the sex life together, baby.
Mm. Yeah. Skin care? I'm all about that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you to real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Okay? Wow, you understand what I'm saying? Like, science
is a part of this.
Yeah. I'm not talking about, like, you know, some weird Hancock universe.
No, we're talking about real life, not some made-up, make-believe world.
Not some make-believe thing.
No, we're just saying we're not...
I gotta talk about Hancock.
No, we're not talking about... We're not talking about, like, a fictional world like Hancock. We're talking about the real world that we all live in.
With some infinity stones that make no sense.
No, we're talking about real life. We're talking about people who want... Wow. Like, we were talking about John wants to keep that curly fro. James wants to keep his beautiful skin. And I'm trying to keep my single life going, all right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if you're trying to do one of those three things, go to Hims, H-I-M-S, .com.
For Hims, yep.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
FORHIMS.com/jump. If you order now, our listeners will get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. So see website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy.
Yeah, man. Save your hairline, baby. Mm-hmm. Save your hairline.
And save your money.
Save your sex life.
Go FORHIMS.com/jump. That's FORHIMS.com/jump. Jump.
Hey guys, so you know, I think I need to get an official website now. We've been doing this podcast for a while, and I honestly don't have an.
I don't know why you don't have a Squarespace website.
I need to update.
Yeah,
how do you
not have one?
Okay, can we not shame? Can we not shame?
No, this whole. In fact, this isn't even an ad.
This is just an
intervention. Have you not gone to Squarespace yet?
Look, man, I forgot that we can get like. A nice little discount on Squarespace if we go there and we use offer code JUMP. You know, I forgot we get 10% off.
Yes. Not only that, Squarespace, you can create a beautiful website for anything. You want at all.
Okay.
Okay? You can showcase your work. You can blog or publish content. You could sell products or services of any kind.
All right, man.
You know? You can sell shirts that say, like, this website's better than James the Third's website.
That's what I really want. I want to see what his looks like and
You don't need to do that, but you...
I don't need to do that. I was thinking about...
But if you wanted to do it, you could do it with award-winning templates. You understand?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you think I could make one where it's like, I have my name, but instead of my name, it's in the Jurassic Park kind of like, you know, like logo. So it's like, it's not Jurassic Park, but it has a feel.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
You don't even like Jurassic Park that much. But you can totally do it.
I can do it. Yes.
They got free and secure hosting, nothing to patch or upgrade ever, 24/7 award-winning customer service, analytics that help you grow in real time.
Wow. I mean, look, I feel like I'm not the only one who doesn't have a website. So listeners, if you're out there and you're like, man, I need a website too, just head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. Mm-hmm. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code JUMP, J-U-M-P, and save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain name. I mean, you can get whatever domain name you want. I got a couple listed, as everyone knows. I like to be very competitive with James. So I have, because my go-to name when I go get coffee is always James. So I was going to get my website, drawjamesmilligan.com, so people know my real name and then my fake name. You know what I'm saying?
Doesn't make any sense.
What are you talking about?
You just take
it. Makes that really makes no sense. What you just said doesn't make sense.
What are you talking about? If I was gonna have a website, I'd be like drawjamesmilligan.com. Because my name is Draw, but when I go and get, you know, coffee or order food, it's always James because people can pronounce
They're
James.
They're not on your website when you go to get coffee.
What happened?
Well, all I have all I have to say is make it yourself, make it with Squarespace. That's not a slogan, but I like it.
I like it. They should pay you for that.
Thank you.
Can you say it one more time? I feel like that's really good.
Make
seriously.
It. With Squarespace. Okay, we're back.
We here. Don't worry. I feel like, I mean, we're not going to deliver this in a happy mode, but we're
let's
like, come
it.
On, come on, let's talk about it, though. We got to be able to talk about stuff. We got to be able to talk about real issues and like.
Right? Everybody's there. Everybody's happy. They're going to college. They're freshmen.
Yeah,
what
man.
Do we got?
What is the thing that's so interesting? We're freshmen. Christy's walking up. She's getting the flyers from people. She sees a cute boy who's looking at her. She's walking. She gives him a look. You know.
Hold up, though. Why we got to be seeing them doing the school cheer and it's clearly Heil Hitler? Like, why? Like,
oh, I didn't even notice that.
Skip to the best.
Wait,
that
what?
That was so obviously them.
like, I did not notice that.
Wait, James? What
you
part?
Know that that's what they were doing. The movie starts, we see the American flag, it pans over everything, and then it's just all the kids, and it's all the white kids in the school doing Heil Hitler.
No, James.
The school.
No, James.
That is definitely what, that is, that no. We could ask John Singleton today, and he would be like, yep, that was what I was trying to do. Damn. I am positive wow. that that's what he was trying
that's
to do.
That's it.
That made
that's
me
intense.
So mad.
I didn't. I,
if that's real.
I didn't peep
that's
that.
That's too much.
I hope. My God. I hope. Ooh, I didn't
that's
see that.
That's exactly what they were doing.
Oh, James. I say we were trying to be positive. Good gosh. You just starting like that?
That's too much.
I will say this, though. It was interesting because I used to run track
yep.
in high school, and I never wanted to go to college to play a sport because I was like, oh, man, what happens if you get hurt? And then also, Omar Epps said something. Later in this movie was like, I'm no one's horse or animal.
Right.
And in my mind, that's what I thought when I went to go tour schools to like run yeah. track. Because all this, like the schools would be predominantly white schools, but the athletes will all be black. And for some reason,
right?
I mean, just like if you like watch professional sports now, but watch football or basketball. And I get it. Black people are like very successful. Like a lot of people make a lot of money from it. When I think about the owners and how much money the owners actually make.
Right.
For some reason, even today, I still feel very bothered by the idea of.
It is weird. They also do have, like, the NFL has, like, you know, the turbine where they literally test their top fitness physique. And, you know, they have them drag tires and see how fast they can run a 40. And
they record it. People are there.
And they're like, all right, I like this one.
Yeah, and it's not that many owners of color.
Kind of, ooh.
It's like, it still irks me out. So when he was, like, walking around, he was feeling confident. I was like, oh, this is cool. And again, at that moment in the elevator with him and Christy, I'm like, bro, that just happened to me.
Yeah.
And the thing that sucks about that situation when it happens to you in real life, I mean, John, we talk about it on the podcast before. It's like, if it's a white woman on the street, I'm going to either try to pass across the street so no one gets freaked out,
right.
So there's no problems. But to realize that someone's scared of you just because you exist, like, you ain't do nothing.
Right.
Like, you literally did nothing, and, like, someone is scared of you.
Right.
Someone is... Someone feels like your mere presence, even though you've never met them, you could be in a suit. They feel like the fact that you exist in the same space is a threat to their life.
You know?
Damn.
He could have snatched their purse and ran away.
Yeah. Or he could have like, said, I'm on your floor. Do you want to go get some damn ice cream at the ice cream social? Like, you don't know. Like,
I know.
Wait, let me bring up.
We see people. I mean, I don't exactly remember the progression of this. I know we see people like in there with their different roommates, right? In rooms.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we see? We see him at the track.
Yeah, we see him at the track. We see Michael Rapaport. We see him in his room. Because he was roommates with
Ice Cube.
Yeah, he was roommates with Ice Cube. And Ice Cube is the dude who like you realize is the seventh year senior.
Yeah, they said he was a 6 year senior.
Yeah, so he'd been there for a minute. And it's everything he said was so fascinating to me because he sounded like that one woke brother who is like always taking African American studies and just giving you facts which are true, but you're also like, damn, bro, why you gotta do this to me right now? You know what I'm saying? Like, why you gotta? I'm trying to think. What is the very first moment that happens? Wait, no. Isn't Michael Rapaport roommates with? No, sorry.
No, they're two white guys.
Yes,
it's like him. Yeah, but before we see that, I know we see like Omar Epps go to the track.
And he has the glasses on. He's cocky. He's late.
Yeah, he's got that. And then his like coach is like, get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here. Like, I got people who can beat you. And he's like, who?
Right.
And the coach don't say nothing.
Right. And then, so you're like, oh, like, is he really good or, yeah, you know.
I think he's like average.
Later on we learn that he's not that great.
Yeah, he's just.
Apparently the slowest one on the team.
Yeah, he's just average. But we go to the class. We go to the class and all of them have the same class, our main three. And which is messed up. Morpheus is like giving this whole introduction. What, man? Morpheus, bro. Morpheus is giving this whole introduction. Brings down Omar Epps, and he has him basically call out these names because he said, this is going to be your first lesson in politics.
Right.
And which is so messed up. Basically, the kids who didn't have their financial aid together had to leave.
Right. He said, all the names you just called were people who...
Dude, that's so tough.
You didn't pay up, and that's how the world works. You can't take my class if you haven't paid. Go see the financial aid.
Bruh, that is...
And they all had to leave. Like, so embarrassing.
That is uber embarrassing. He didn't have to do that, man. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that.
Because before that scene, we see... what's her name? Actually, there's a lot before that scene. Because we see...
Christy.
We see Christy with her like two friends who are also blonde.
Mm-hmm.
We see that Christy's roommates with Regina King.
Yeah, Regina King. Monet is her name. Monet.
And we find out that her dad. Because what did they say? Something? Oh, they're like, oh. We should like live off campus. Like, oh, I hate like living. They like weren't they being racist?
Yeah. So very early on, which is so funny because I didn't realize how young they're supposed to be. They're like, yeah, we should live off campus. We hate living with the people. We should get our own spot. And she's like, I can't afford it. Just have your parents pay for it.
Yeah, just have your parents pay for it. And like, they can't. I can barely afford to go to this school. Like, my dad just got laid off. And
dude, it's the same issues that this is 95. This is the same Right. This is real. This is so real right now, which is crazy to show you like how things change over time, but also so little has really changed.
Right. So, I mean, is there anything in any of these scenes that
people want to talk about? Yes. Well, the thing is interesting. So one of the very first things that happens is as they're walking, you're actually walking to a frat party.
Right.
So they go to a frat party and then Monet goes to the black party.
Right.
And at the frat party, which is already kind of sketched. You see, like, the frat boys introducing all the women.
Yeah.
You know, you
people
see...
People are, like, guzzling.
Yeah.
There's,
like, girls in their bra, like, craziness. There's one... Again, I went to a predominantly white school. I remember seeing a lot of sororities. And in this one, there was... When they went to the party, there was one lone black girl. And she was, like, in a tub or a mini pool or something like that. But she basically had her shirt off. She had a bra on, and like it's just a bunch of white people around her pouring alcohol down her mouth.
Right.
And like for some reason that visual just struck me so much because early on you saw like another girl outside,
right,
you know, and a guy picks her up or whatever. But the fact that there was no black, there was not a single black guy in this frat
right
at any point. But it was this one black girl surrounded by a bunch of white people, and they were like screaming and pouring stuff in her mouth.
Right.
So that struck me. And then when you go to the black party. The black party, first off, if you notice, the black kids don't have a house. They're still on campus. They're on campus. They ain't got a house. This dude just has a huge, Ice Cube just got a big ass dorm room.
Yeah, he's a huge dorm room.
Yeah, so he just has a huge dorm room, and like everyone's in there partying. And the moment that they're in there, and what's so interesting is that in this scene, like you see, I think, Busta smoke, but it's not a bunch of black people smoking weed in this scene.
Right.
Which I think was done on purpose. And I think it was done on purpose to say like, even though they're just having a good time and they're not doing anything that's considered illegal as much as anyone else is, this is still going to be harsher than what happens to the white group at the same time.
Right.
So sure enough, Mike Rappaport comes, runs and tells the cops that, you know, they are having a party, their music off, and the cops come and shut them down. But again, the cops never treat them like they're people. At no point does that white cop ever talk to him like with any type of compassion or concern that he does any other white kids.
Right.
Now, I think about that all the time because, like, all these stories we hear about, I say it, that Chicago PD thing, I think I told y'all, that Chicago PD thing, you know, it was a wonderful time, But there was a person who was on the set who, you know, it was a person on the set who, I'm trying to make sure I'm not getting in trouble, who is a consultant, if you will, to make sure things, like, they're doing it the way police would do it. And the way he was describing certain scenes and I guess the criminals, the perp, he wasn't describing them as people. He'd be like, yo, y'all really want to kill this dude. Y'all really want to do this to this dude. This dude is screwed y'all over. Y'all want to fuck this dude up. And I'm like, to hear that this is a veteran now who is like consulting a TV show, and that's how you describe, like, and things, I don't even think when he was saying he knew
he didn't realize it came off.
Like,
no,
I think he had none. And I'm like, if this is what you're doing here in the same space for a TV show,
right?
How do you treat people in the world? And is that difficult? It's like, what do you have to do to be considered like just a base level human being? Like, not saying you're the smart, not saying you're like the ace in the hole, but you're just a human trying to get along with the day.
Yeah.
And just seeing how they treated that dude, I'm like, man, this is the same shit that happens.
It's crazy.
But yeah, I mean, I loved how those parallels with those parties goes. And because the one thing I think is really important is that, and this may be skipping ahead, but when Christy does hook up with the guy later on, it's that line I feel like we never teach people about, like, how sex actually works. We teach people how not to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, this started, she went back to his house knowing she was going to hook up with this guy.
It started consensually.
So it started that way, and she kept repeating, like, get a condom. And it, again, he should have easily just got this condom, and he realized how it took a turn, and I would just wish the movie would have shown his fallout a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, even if...
It only showed, like, a little bit.
A brief... But the thing is, it saved
him.
And
then we never see him again.
But the thing that thing I didn't like about it is that it saved him. Mm-hmm. Because when she comes back after the assault happens, the black people... This is the thing that bothers me, too. The black people instantly come to her defense, which I love. Without a doubt, the white guy calls Monet, like, a black bitch. Mm-hmm. And, like, she gets everybody.
Right.
Everybody comes and they're like, which one is it? And maybe they don't know about the assault yet, but no matter what, they're there for the women, right? And when the cops show up, this white dude almost saves the black people by being like, we got no problems. There's no issues. And it's almost like he's absolved of everything he's done. Like, of calling the black woman a bitch, of assaulting this other woman, and we never see... At no point in this movie...
I liked this. So
do
I
the white
this,
people who do bad things...
Of scenes,
yeah, it's like
I liked these series of scenes because it was like there were so many things that happened that like went wrong or you feel wrong about it, right? Like she doesn't call, she passes the phones and doesn't call security. She's so distraught about it, she doesn't want to do anything. The only thing that happens is they call Ice Cube, right? Mm-hmm. Then the guy does pretty much get away with it because he's like, he's scared of something worse happening, right? So he's just like, everything's fine here. Everything's fine, right? I liked that. I really liked the way that this happened because it was like, it felt so real.
Yeah, it felt very real.
It felt real, but I guess in my mind, I guess it hurt because to me, it's like, yeah, it felt real, but it also shows that if something happens to a woman, it's so easily absolved. It's like, it's so easy, like, pushed aside. Because my thing is...
Right. Well, she says that later. She's like... I think she has a conversation with Jennifer Connelly about, like, well, are you gonna report it? And she's like, why? He's not gonna... It's nothing's gonna happen. And, yeah. And I mean,
so
like,
trash.
That's, like, the real... That is what happens a lot. You know, they still have that same statistic that exists today, it's like 1 in 4 women. And the reality is, yeah, you know, you can report it, which I think you should do, but it takes so much, it takes such an emotional toll on you, and then even more so to report it and then nothing happened afterwards, you know?
Yeah.
So she doesn't say anything. And then we don't see that. Yeah.
We'll see him again.
We never see him again. Like, we never. And she's obviously, this has like changed her, but like, we don't see. The other thing that we don't really see is how her entire college experience is going to be hampered, like, because if she ever sees this guy, she feels, you know what I mean? Like, those feelings are going to come up. She can't, like, go to the same parties that she was going to. She can't talk with the same people. Mm-hmm. Like,
and it's like always gonna be there, but it's not a thing that other people know. The only people that know are the people that she spoke to.
Right.
This is gonna live with her for the rest of the time. While this guy, I mean, like, yeah, that's just such a powerful image, I think.
Yeah, and also her two friends never stop hanging out with the frat people.
And they, for all intents and purposes, they never even know what happened.
Yeah, very true.
And if anything, everybody just looks at, because they, like, the next day, everybody's looking at her like she's like, oh, like all the guys are looking at her like, oh, she's a slut.
Yeah. Because her friends called her like, oh, she had a tramp haircut the moment she showed up when she got it cut and bleached.
She bleached it, yeah.
I mean, that stuff is, that stuff is so interesting because I'm thinking about, like, there was so much in that. To me, there was so much in that scene just outside of that frat. And this is early. This is, like, first 10, 15 minutes in the movie. Because you have legit the guy who assaulted somebody, who called someone racist. Then you have the black people on the white people's turf. Then you have the white enforcer show up. There's never a black security guard or Puerto Rican. There's never a brown security guard. And again, at no point does the security guard really try to figure out what's going on.
Right.
He instantly goes towards them. And I got to come back to that guy when we get at the end. And I think his portrayal of security was really good because, again, I had a security guard at my college who, I lived in an apartment-style dorms.
Uh-huh.
And so it was a four-bedroom apartment. It was co-ed. And at least on my floor, no one locked their doors because everyone was like, oh, we know everybody in this wing, blah, blah, blah. Somebody on the floor, like, at the time, thought they lost it was like a jacket. It was something expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Though they lost a jacket. Mind you, there's in this corner, there's three people of color. One never really lived there. He never showed up. But it's like me and like an Asian guy. But he was like a hood Asian dude. So he was like, not saying he's like a black Asian, but like he was like hood. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so not hood, but he was like very urban. And so basically like this dude, so this thing got stolen. And instantly security came and approached me and this other dude. And again, he may have went to other people first. We just didn't see it. And all I know is like when he stopped me in particular, he stopped me like right by the elevator banks. So this is like, we had an L-shaped hallway. So it was like on one end, it was a bunch of apartments. On the other end, it was a bunch of apartments. And I got stopped in the intersection of this L.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's one of those things where like someone's talking to you and you just know what the visual of this looks like. Knowing there's only like 10 black people staying in these dormitories. Right. It's like, and the one black dude, something stolen. Which ended up being missing because it was ended up being at somebody's house or somebody else's dorm. But it was to get this long talking to in front of so many people as they're like going like down the elevator, going down the steps, coming back from class. Right. And it's like, oh, you're talking to the black dude because some shit got stolen. And I think at the end of the day is, ain't nobody apologized.
Right.
Not saying I was expecting it, but it's just like, and I'm looking at this dude like, they don't care. Like, no one cares if you feel offended if like something's hurt. It's no. Like, you should expect it.
Yeah.
We're just doing the right thing. Anyway, so that part happens. Then now we're in class.
Yeah. And the other thing that happens is, like, while that party got broken up, Ice Cube's party, they were being dicks.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were. They were. Character. They were.
Because he's like, come on, guys. I have, like, class tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'll beat you, son. You're like, all right.
So aggressive.
Damn.
So aggressive. So aggressive.
Unnecessary.
So unnecessary. But then also, after that party got shut down, what you didn't hear is that there was like a bunch of rock and roll music like blasting too. So it was like, hey, we're partying. But also, there's another party right here in the dorm too that you don't. And the guy goes, well, I love that. That's like real music or something like that.
Right, the security guard says, yeah.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security, it gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin' today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin' app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin' is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Yeah, that was frustrating. I was like, I like the fact that they're like playing this music and being loud and aggressive, but then the other people also playing the music being loud and aggressive, we could have at least seen like a hey, like, you know what I mean? Like, wouldn't the security like knock on the door and then keep walk? Like, wouldn't they do a half something? Like,
yeah. I mean,
that was weird.
I will say to John Singleton's, well, I do respect from John Singleton, and I'm happy John touched on it, is that they didn't make Ice Cube and him seem without any type of fault. Like, Busta is mad aggressive to people.
Yeah.
They, like, even Omar Epps is super, like, from the beginning, he's off break, he's mean to Michael Rapaport. Like, off break. So you don't, so there's always these shades of gray. So, like, they didn't make, for instance, the white people be like the big bads,
right,
and the black people are like, oh, we're just victims. They show like the levels of, hey, man, they're not nice to him. And again, they didn't deserve what happened, but it's also like these people aren't without fault either. Right. You know, like, yeah, like Omar Epps shows up to track meet late, doesn't like do as much as everyone else does, thinks everybody's against him. Like when he has that meeting with Lawrence Fishburne, he's like, man, I want my brother to have my back. You know, I don't want to feel like, you know, and his conversation with Lawrence Fishburne is so interesting because he's talking about, yeah, like John said, this feels mental. And that's what I think about nowadays that we, our generation is fighting.
Right.
Like back in the day, our parents fought against like physical treatment. Whereas now, like you're fighting against someone's like philosophy and someone's like their little thought process. And it's like, how, like you're now just working to try to prove that this thought of racism, if you will, is wrong. But it's so hard to prove it that it exists because you're like, nah, man, that's just what?
Yes, it's nefarious. It's like, it's because like, it's because sometimes it's so covert, people can say, well, it's not happening. It makes you think you're crazy.
It makes you think you're crazy, bro. And I think that's
yeah.
That's the scary part.
Yeah. The I liked that the – I agree with what you were saying earlier, Gerard, that I felt like the security guards were showing more of that mental game, even though it does become physical with them. But in thinking about it more, it's like if they don't have – if they – if he doesn't show more examples of the sort of mental mind games of racism – like, then someone that doesn't have that as a part of their experience isn't even going to get that from this movie, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, I loved that he said it because it was like, yeah, that's so true. And then it was like, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, and I've been feeling that this whole time I've been watching it or whatever.
Yeah.
but to anyone that, like, doesn't even recognize that that is real, the only time they've seen it is, like, the moment that homegirl clutches her purse. And then maybe the first time the cops are mean to the black people for no reason. Like, but then that's it. Like, it's sort of not in the movie for the rest of the time.
Right. And then we have, like, a lot of scenes with Lawrence Fishburne where his character says things like, you know, where Omar Epps comes to see him and says, you know, it's just so frustrating. You have all... I'm here and I'm struggling. I have to do all this track stuff just to make sure that I can pay to go to this school. And all these white people, none of them have to worry about that. They're like, whatever. And then Lawrence Fishburne goes, oh, so it's economical, not racial, you know? And there's like a part of you that's like, okay, but to say like those are two separate things, like,
exactly.
And also, even if there wasn't just economics, there would still be a racial undertone that was happening here. But, because Lawrence Fishburne's character kind of represents that mentality of, well, don't complain, just like do it. And I think it's hard because a lot of times these movies pit these two mentalities against each other instead of marrying them. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be a person who just complains all the time and plays the victim and never lift yourself up in a way that's not helpful. But you can also, on the opposite end, be somebody who denies the fact that social injustice is happening and you don't become a part of any movement and you tell people to just shut up and just be better, and if they're better, then they'll succeed. And you deny the reality of the systemic racism that's happening. So there is a happy medium to those two. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't. It's not like it doesn't have to be one or the other. It's very dualistic.
Yeah.
I think that's why
I like the way that it's presented in this scene, because it's like he says, like, so if you were running track, like, what would you do? And I like it that he, like, lets him, even though he is basically saying, like, you just got to work harder, blah blah blah, whatever, which is like something that I hate, but I like that he says it in a way that just sort of puts it more on Omar Epps, so that he's not going fuck them. He's going, what is a thing that I can do to change? You know, he's like coming to a decision on his own rather than being forced an idea.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the same time, but what was so funny to me about a track analogy, and again, this is one of those things where I wish it kept that ball in the air, but because the track stuff was also just completely like just dropped. But In the course of the story, we see that he's not great at track.
Yeah.
Like, he was good in high school, and he comes here.
My man Ricky was in here. Did y'all see Ricky? Ricky, I'm not even going to call him by his real name, so whatever. But from Boys in the Hood, he's running, and he's, like, the last one on the relay team.
Did
you
just say Ricky?
Yeah, I'm going to call him Ricky. His name is Ricky to me. He ran in 1992. He ran it in 1995.
Wow. Morris Chestnut was in there.
That's what I'm talking about, Ricky. Ricky! All right, I'm done. Sorry.
But yeah, like they do that relay race and he is the slowest one and he like is the reason, maybe one of the reasons they lose. And so they have this thing after and he's like, whatever, y'all are slaves and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, and I was just sitting there and I was just thinking, you know, at a certain, you can work hard. I mean, sports is such a great analogy for how it doesn't matter how hard you work because you can work as hard as you want. But at the end of the day, you know, Earl Boykins probably worked harder than any other person in the NBA. But at the end of the day, he's still 5'5". He's still coming off the bench. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't care. Like, if you don't have, if you're not set up like other people are set up, you can achieve maybe more than people thought you might. But that doesn't mean.
But you're fighting.
I mean, you're still a ceiling. That. Like. So that was my whole thing. I just thought it was so interesting that he used that sports analogy. And then later on, we see him lose a race. Like he says, run faster. But then he loses a race. And then we're like, cool. So now what? And I guess that affects him later on. But like it just sometimes it felt like disjointed. Like we didn't like we had to put the pieces together as the audience. Mm. And the movie didn't do it for us, which maybe sometimes is cool. But it's hard, especially when you're dealing with something so heavy. That you have to like kind of also do that work of like connecting these like story dots. Because I was wondering whether or not I guess I was wondering what Lawrence Fishburne, what his character's philosophy really was.
I was
because it kind of starts to transform when we start to they make these hints that maybe Ice Cube, like we all were laughing, we like kind of like, oh, this is like the, you know, he's getting left behind or whatever, Ice Cube, because that's he's here for 6 years. He can't graduate. And then we kind of realize, no, he's here because he just like he likes
chooses to basically.
He's choosing to be here because he loves learning.
Yeah.
Like he's just learning information. He's actually just choosing to remain at college and just not playing within the system of degrees. He's like, I'm getting information. Whether you want to, you know, qualify the information that I'm learning as like degree worthy, like I have to take this class and this class to get this degree or whatever. I don't really care. I'm just here to learn, you know? And then we see that like maybe him and Lawrence Fishburne's character have like a relationship.
Yeah,
like,
and they have a history.
And respect for each other and, you know, but I guess at the end of the day, I wasn't 100% sure like what Lawrence Fishburne's, you know what I mean?
Whose side like, he was on, really? It was like he was very, you know what it was?
Or what his philosophy was. It was like hinted at, but then I was like, so he seems like he's saying like you have to actually break this racial injustice that is real. You have to do X, Y, Z. But then I was like, but then what are you doing? Like in the beginning, he was like, I treat everybody the same. Like he said that to Omar Epps.
Yep.
And I was like, but then we see another. We see him with, what's her name, Kristen, and he's not treating her like he's treating Omar Epps. So I'm like, you don't treat everybody the same. You're a liar. Yeah.
And it's very fascinating because there's a character who, I hate that I'm about to quote, Scott. Scott is the leader of the white supremacists on campus.
Right.
And towards the end of the movie, he's talking to Michael Rappaport's character, and he goes, you shouldn't have dropped out. We need people like you who are doctors, who are like lawyers, who are architects, who are yada yada. And when he said that, it brought me back to what Lawrence Fishburne said earlier about everything. This is like class issue and you got to work harder. Because to me, what both of those two characters were saying in different ways was, in order to affect change, you almost have to, you have to achieve something. Like you have to, like you have to, basically, like almost like Lawrence Fishburne is like, you know, if you're gonna be a woman, a person of color, like you gotta work hard so you can be successful, and so it becomes like normal, right?
Right.
And I'm listening to the white supremacists basically tell this white dude the exact same thing, like he has the same struggles as people of color, and I'm like, everyone is thinking we have to be better than the other person. That's everyone is basically telling each other, it's like, hey, you're a black kid, you gotta work twice as hard. Hey, you're a white dude, the world isn't helping you out, you gotta work twice as hard. And it's just fascinating to me that at every point, no one understands that they're all people going for the same goals. You know, it's like, oh, I have to be better than this person. Literally, is you have to be better than that person.
Right.
And it's such an interesting thing because now it's always competitive. Now everything we do is, I got it. ah, man, I got to make more money than this person. I got to have more power than this person. Like, even at towards the end, both times Michael Rapaport pulls a gun on Omar Epps, or not both times, but the first time he pulls a gun on him, and then when Omar Epps is like hurts his leg when he's running up the steps, he goes, like, I'm better than you. You're nothing. You're nothing to me. You'll never be me. This is mine. And it's just this thing of like authority. Almost every, authority, the patriarchy, like it's literally men wanting authority over women. And it's just literally everyone wanting control over something else.
Right.
And this movie, again, touches on this at an age where we had Rodney King happen at this moment. We had the riots.
O.J. Simpson.
We had O.J. We're in the middle of O.J. right now when this is going
on,
right?
Yeah, apparently like it was released like right before the trial began.
Yeah, so like the O.J. is going on. And it's just fascinating because, and I do want to skip ahead a little bit to when we get to when Mike Rappaport pulls a gun on Omar Epps. I mean, this whole sequence is crazy because, again, Tyra Banks is hitting Omar Epps with the thing of, like, you got to stop doing this. You got to stop, like, fighting everything. You got to stop being combative. You got to, like, when something gets stolen in our house, the white girls always look at me, but I don't worry about that.
Right, because Tyra Banks is also a track. She's on the track team, mm-hmm. college student, and Omar Epps essentially says, like, she's like, "What? You think you have it harder than me?" And he's like, "Yeah,
yeah." He says it quick.
Yeah,
yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do. And it's interesting because as they're having this discussion, you know, Michael Rapaport pops up and is like, "Oh, this." I think I'm just talking about college right now. Michael Rapaport comes up and it's like, "Oh, do you support the Black Panthers?" And like this whole thing. In college.
That's reverse racism.
Reverse. In college. And I probably said this on the podcast before, but I have a shirt that has one of the first meetings between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. And again, a lot of people remember Malcolm X for a certain era of his life. And again, he changed that thought process later on. And again, when he first started, he wasn't like, we need to kill white people. He was like, we just need to, he was basically saying if someone shows up in your house with a gun, defend your house. You know, you know what I'm saying? So he wasn't like, go kill me. He was like, yo, but we got to retaliate.
Right.
So I remember being in college. I had this shirt on. One of my roommate's girlfriends, white girl from like kind of a rich area, super nice to me. You've always been nice. She sees me in this shirt. She goes, gets like a neighbor. And now I have in my bedroom, because again, we got four bedrooms.
Right.
So they walk into my bedroom and now confronting me if I'm being racist towards white people because I'm wearing a Malcolm X and Martin Luther King shirt. And I'm thinking in my head, I was like, oh, so what do you know about Malcolm X? And they're like, oh, he hated white people. I'm like, well, technically, he didn't straight up hate white people. But like, how much do you actually know? So we go through this history lesson. And then they go through, because I'm from Southeast and then moved to PG. One of the girls goes, I mean, that's different. We know not to drive through those areas. And I'm like, why wouldn't you drive through those areas? She's like, because that's where it's bad. That's where the bad people live. I'm like, so you think these predominantly, you know, poor black areas are where the bad, versus your gut reaction was describing as where the bad people live.
Right.
And, like, you think this dude who tried to help black people because people think they're bad is also a bad person.
Right.
And so when I heard him ask him about the Black Panther Party, and again, the Black Panthers never just ran up on the KKK. They never just ran up on cops.
Right.
The Black Panthers bought guns legally, did, like, food and clothing drives, and legit just tried to make sure that neighborhoods were protected.
Right.
And I'm like, you're using these Black Panthers as a reason to be racist. And people still do that shit today.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is crazy. Like, this is crazy. Yeah. That is 95. I was in college in like 08. And now it's about 2018. And I'm literally looking at our president talk about certain shit. And I'm like, bruh, you're calling Black Lives Matter a hate group. But then you call supremacists good people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There are good people on both sides.
Shut up, John. Shut up. But like that instance was so crazy. And then when he pulls a gun on him, and it's that always been that parallel, I guess, at least when I went to college, of just like black and Jews, like you're supposed to like band together because you've both been oppressed. And to hear that dude talk about how the Jewish guy wasn't even white, but then the black person shouldn't even be friends with the Jewish guy because they own us. It's like, it's just like that hateful rhetoric is so prevalent now. It's just like, I could not stop watching this movie and thinking of like things that I watch on the news today.
Right.
It was so hard to disconnect. And I think that's what made this movie was like so hard to watch to me. More so than I thought it was going to be. Because I think if we're watching a slavery movie, we can do what other people do. It's like, oh, we're not living in that times. We're not those people, right? But this is a time where the clothing style is coming back.
Yeah, I know.
Like the clothing is coming back. You know what I'm saying? Like the celebs I'm watching in this thing are younger, like younger.
The TV shows are coming back.
Yeah, it's like we're doing reboots of them. It's like this. We're literally going back into that time, and yeah. like you said, which sucks. But if this movie was released today, the kill count would have been higher. Right. That's the only thing you would have changed in this movie to me right. is you would have made that count higher, and you would have changed it from a sniper to an assault rifle,
right,
with a pump. Ugh, guys, why did? I'm sorry. I'm never suggesting the movie again.
The stock bump.
I'm never suggest. You know what? I'm never gonna suggest a movie again. I can't do it. And then after the scene, which is so quick, is that the black group runs up on the white supremacists and they have this all out fight. Yeah. And the thing that sucks about this brawl is that Ice Cube said the smartest fucking line of this whole movie, when Busta goes, "At least we won," and he's like, "You really think we won?
Yeah.
We ain't win nothing.
Right.
They won." We're still in their schools. We're behind enemy lines.
They own this couch.
We're behind enemy lines,
bro. They own this school. He said, "You think one beat down is going to make up for 439 years of oppression?"
And it doesn't. And it doesn't. My man, at that point, like, and again, when he says they're behind enemy lines, and then you cut right back to the white group, and they're talking about, oh, this is the start of the race war, and they're trying to, one of them is trying to turn it up a notch. And the thing is, as they get this plan for the snipers and stuff, what hurts so bad is that as this guy shoots random people in this field at a peace rally, mind you, a peace rally, the cops don't initially go after the bloody white dude with the swastika that's visible.
Right, because Omar is beating up on him.
But my thing is, pull him off.
Well, yeah, but that's why they go after him. That's why they do it, because they're like, why is he beating up on this white man? You know,
no, but
a
even,
bloody white dude, but...
Sorry, even before that, when he first pulls the gun on Omar Epps and the Jewish guy, they still go after Omar Epps, and the Jewish guy has to come down and say, hey, that's the wrong one. Not him. That's insane. And the thing about that is that as he sits outside with the other black people, the cops instantly go, come on, let's get out of here, let's disperse. You know? And the thing is, you just had a gun pulled on you, and nothing happened to that dude because you didn't even try to chase him. And at the end, they also...
He had a gun on campus and pulled a gun on a fellow student, and he didn't go to jail?
No. He's like, he dropped out, but yet he was still on campus and walking around.
Dropped out? What the flip? You don't get to just drop out. You go to prison. Like, you can't just pull a gun on somebody.
No one felt weird about it. No one noticed it. And the thing that sucks is that I keep thinking about, and this, the end part, which I can't let go of, is the mere fact that when that white kid was running, and he was about to, like, again, the fact that he had a gun pointed at the cops.
Right.
And the fact that those cops were still trying to talk him off of the ledge and then felt compassion when he, like, you know, I just think about what's happening recently, even by the time this podcast comes out, what, a month maybe, of a guy in the backyard of his grandma's house talking on his cell phone. Mm-hmm. My man wasn't pointing shit, but my man wasn't given a chance to explain himself. And it's on tape. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's on tape.
He was that cop, that security guard or whatever, was willing to risk his life to save the life of that white man. But cops are not willing to risk their lives to save the life of some black man.
Omar Epps was in handcuffs, bloodied and beaten by them as he's watching this. He's standing there bloody and beaten. The reason he comes out limping isn't because of Michael Rappaport. It's because of the cops.
Right.
Like, he comes literally out of the building bloody and beaten, not because of the dude who shot up everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But because of the people who are supposed to protect him. And again, I'm thinking about a certain situation where I think about, like, again, my family's personally very religious. They always go to church. My family are those families who are in these small 20 people black churches. You know what I'm saying? And I think about that guy who went into that church, did what he did, and got fucking Burger King.
Right.
He made it out. I think about the guy who was just in Austin when apparently I didn't even realize when we were in Austin targeting people of color. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just now, this is one of the first times someone's ever called a white dude a domestic terrorist, which is crazy. He literally targeted only people of color. Mm-hmm.
We skipped over the whole Jennifer Connelly storyline, but
it's fine.
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
we're fine.
Well, I think. Well, I will say this: the one thing I did like about the situation is that, again, they didn't make anyone seem better than anyone else. Whereas Monet, Regina Hall's character, was freaked out a little bit. That
yeah, she
the
was
fact,
homophobic.
She was definitely homophobic, and she was like, why is your friend so weird?
Your friend's weird. Yeah. She's not weird. She's just different.
Yeah, and she's like, I bet she's trying like, to like, and she said like yeah, fucked up
I
shit.
She's trying to get you to be all kinds of different.
Yeah, yeah. And then she's, when they were holding hands.
When they were holding hands, she like looked at her and was like, what's wrong? Like, she said something like to the, like when she goes out on the date with the guy, she's like, oh, I was getting worried about you.
Yeah, yeah. And then even, hey, don't put on too much lipstick. You don't look like a hoe. It's just so interesting how you can go from being judged to judging someone else so quickly. It's like in an instant. It's literally in an instant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like she, and it's interesting because the moment when they're in the park and Jennifer Connelly and Christy are like holding hands and they walk past, Regina Hall's character turns back to her friend and does this, what? Like this whole weird, like, how, what? Did you see that? Which almost makes it feel like, oh, now you think you're better than that person. You know, it's just a constant who's better than who's scale, which is,
yeah.
And
then she winds up having a sexual relationship with Jennifer Connelly and this other guy who's like really nice. But then that's it. We don't see the rest of that.
Yeah.
And then also that guy who's nice, like, has a brief conversation with Omar Epps where he's like, we're different. Like, I'm not that guy, you know? And Omar Epps is like, nah, like, I'm not different.
And that stuff
sucks. And it's like, that's kind of breaks your heart. It's like this, you know, he's like trying to reach out.
He's literally reaching out to him,
you know, for reconciliation. And Omar, I mean, to be fair, the timing is horrible. And I don't think he knew that Omar Epps had a gun pulled on him.
Omar says it in that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
He says it right then and there.
Yeah.
But yeah, but now you're projecting on, and I guess that's a difficult part because I'm like, again, if you've been robbed or if something's happened to you, I see why you would be scared of a dude approaches you or just walks behind you. But then also it's like, oh, I want you to not know that's not me, you know? And also like that white dude wanted Omar Epps to know like, hey, I'm not the guy who put the gun on you.
Right.
But like in his
one of the things that I liked about the movie, but also found infuriating, but it's the reality I think is the blinders that pretty much everybody had on, Lawrence Fishburne gives a speech, right? He gives the chess pawn speech and the like, you got to fight, you got to do this, you got to do that, right? And then like the next scene is. What?
It's all a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all a game, right? And then the next scene is the fight, like the big fight, which is like that's not the fight that Lawrence Fishburne was trying to say to have. But they do it and it's like you're not even thinking about you're mad at now yes you are mad at them because this is a hate group obviously. But like you're also mad at just like sort of the system, the thing that that's sort of been hovering over the whole movie, the system, this repetitive thing that's going on and on and on and on and still happening today. And we're seeing it today. And it's like, it's so frustrating that we get this one scene that kind of touches on it even a little bit, even more directly, which is this sequence of like, I'm not the guy that pulled a gun on you, but I still hate you. You know, I still hate. And it was just like, it's nice. It's great to sort of see it enacted this way. But it is so infuriating that that's how so many people see the world. Or even that's how, that is the system, right? That is the system in place like that. We're not being taught that we're all people. We're being taught these very sort of narrow ideas or these sort of passed down ideas of anything, of blackness, of whiteness, of whatever, you know, of what it means to be heterosexual, what it means to be homosexual.
Yeah.
It's so infuriating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
And when I think about how this movie ends, too, it like...
Tyra Banks gets shot.
Yeah, it doesn't end. Yo, this scene of Omar Epps when he runs out and like when he's just trying to get to the body and then like Lawrence Fishburne is holding him. I was like, dude, I can't.
A thing that I also really liked too right before this is like, you know, there's the whole like running thing that's happening throughout the movie. But then when she gets shot, it's just a very still moment from Omar Epps. And it's like he doesn't run, or at least he doesn't run in the way that he should. You know, he doesn't run for help. He doesn't he stays there and he stares at her. I thought that was really... that was really powerful and also infuriating.
yeah.
But like, it's like a really powerful moment of like him not doing it. And then I think even still not doing what is right or what is wrong. I mean, what is right and wrong in this scenario? Like, I think he has every right to want to attack and kill and want to attack and kill Michael mm-hmm. Rappaport. But it's like, is that the thing that he should do right now? Like, who, like... she's there and she's dying. She's dead, obviously. But it's like, should he run and get help or should he have ran to Michael Rappaport? And I love that that's sort of like an open kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I feel like I don't want to talk to Hollywood at all. I just
want to talk to America.
I do a little bit, man. It's just like, I feel like John, me and you've had this discussion over the last couple of days of mm-hmm. just like how people treat each other. And it sounds so dumb. And I get it. It sounds like this is not the easiest thing. But when you think about how the errors of men treating women, you think of how like white men treat every other race for the most part. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, why is there a division between people in sex? Like, why? Like, aside from the fact that people want to feel power, if you just think about, if you just treated someone, how do you want to be treated? Like,
why
if you
are these tribes?
Like, but if you want to just be treated with respect, like, you, at the end of the day, don't you just want to be respected and, like, be able to, like, provide for your family, live a fun, good life, and, like, mm-hmm. like, that's it.
If you prick me, do I not bleed?
Exactly. Do you not put on your shoes, you know?
Do we not all eat?
Like, it's crazy.
Do we not all poop?
Do you not poop? You
do
gotta
we not
poop.
All wipe our eye boogers
I
in the morning?
Like, that's the thing that Shakespeare was missing. Do we not all poop?
Which is real. We all got the poop. I don't know, man. I got nothing to say, man. It's just difficult to me because I feel like, and again, I guess when we do with this podcast, and people are like, oh, you know, John's diplomatic, yeah, you know, James is nice, and I'm like, fix it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, in my mind, it's like, fix it. It's hard. It's really hard. It's really hard to me.
Come on, people. Now
it's just hard because I'm thinking about like, we live in a world where, again, I do agree with Omar Epps' character, where now the things we're fighting is definitely more mental than when people are being hosed and hung on the street corners. Like, it's not that. It's definitely institutionalized. We're definitely looking at a prison system that is thriving. We're definitely looking at how, again, we have this podcast because of how media presents certain, like how media presents women and people of color. Like, we see what's happening. And to me, the only way to fix that is to change people's mindset. And it's like, hey, just stop being a dick. It's like just don't do it. It's so weird.
The sad thing is it really isn't even that easy, right? Like, that's a really hard thing. What you're saying to do is, like, really hard.
Yeah.
Like, this has been the way things have been forever. Not the exact same relationships, black, white, et cetera, but, like, forever, people have looked at other people like, fuck you guys. Like that has been going on forever. Yeah. It is an easy thing to say, like, don't be a dick, like treat people like humans. But I think that's probably the hardest thing for a human being to do. Or for humans to do. Not necessarily a human being.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing for humans to do, but not for a human being to do.
And that's why that's why Jesus died. Died for our
yeah man Easter Sunday saved, bro.
I mean no but for real
It's tough, man.
He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And people say, yo, put that dude on a cross.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, yeah. This dude's crazy. That's,
yeah.
It's just like, what are we doing? They're like,
he can't. We can't with this, no. Sir. Sir, what are you doing?
No.
He said, love your enemy. They said,
what?
Okay, we gonna kill this nigga.
What? You about to love your enemy? He owed me $20 still. Oh, man. All right. That's my America. It's like, it's not even a real thing. It's just, yes, James, you're right. It is very hard. It's just so confusing because it's like, man, we could change it. We could make sure that things don't get passed. Like
if you want to make the world a better place,
don't you do this.
Are you about to look at yourself?
Okay.
And make that change.
I'm so mad. When you say Michael Jackson, you gotta
start with that man in the mirror.
Yeah, I hate you. Okay, what is the end? How do we end this thing?
I'm not gonna do anything.
Cool.
Either.
Cool.
I'm not gonna do the thing that I normally do right now.
Cool. That works.
Can I just say though quickly that Jennifer Connelly was in the Hulk movie?
That's
and
true.
I really wanted to make a connection between Hulk and Hancock, but that just felt. I'm just gonna tell you guys what I was thinking about doing.
Wait.
So instead of like, actually so doing it, I'm just gonna tell you what I was thinking.
Feels like you're doing it, but okay.
So yeah, if you start
I'm
saying
not gonna
it, that means
do
you're.
It.
But you're saying
I'm not gonna do it, but I'm just saying the thing that was in my mind was that. Like that was the heaviest part of it was that. All right. Or like a Will Smith was supposed to be in the Matrix thing and Lawrence Fishburne is sort of Morpheus again, but like the real life Morpheus in this. Okay. Anyway, I'm not gonna do it. But that was I'm not gonna do it.
All right. But thanks.
That was what
I'm not gonna do it. So it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them or how well we think they were created in a critical sense, but if they helped the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. If we think that this film helped the cause fully, we give it a black fist. If we think it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we think it didn't really help the cause at all, we don't give it nothing. On the count of three.
I don't really know what I'm doing.
We're going to raise up our ratings for the film Higher Learning. One?
No.
Two? Three.
Oh, fuck. Shit. What'd you do?
I did a white palm.
I did too. James, what did you do?
I did a fist.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess we did a palm.
I don't know if I should have
given it. We got two white palms and a fist?
Yeah.
I don't know if I should have given it a palm, but the reason I did, I guess, was one, because Jennifer Connelly's name was the first one.
Yeah, right.
In the title. And I was like, yo, she ain't the main character of this movie at all. How you gonna put her name first? I was mad at that. Also, I don't think this film did very well.
It did not.
John Singleton has done good films, but I also feel like he could have been even bigger. But anyway, whatever. I mean, you know, Omar Epps was kind of on the... this was the Tyra Banks' first film, so
yeah,
it definitely helped.
But what's up with Omar, man? I understand Omar is a working actor. I totally do.
Yeah.
But to be a young guy who was in so many movies and gave performances that people talked about so often, like, I was just shocked that, like, again, I know we ended up with Will Smith, which is great, but, like, how come there were just not more...
Right.
You know, like, I get that Will Smith saved the day, and I get if you had a prestigious film, you had Denzel, but where was everyone in between? Like, Sam Jackson technically wasn't popping until, like, the late 90s. Until, right. Like, he did Pulp Fiction, but then he wasn't, like, killing it after that. Like, sorry, you go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's true. It was, like, one of those things where I don't know if this film made enough of an impact to really help the cause. That being said, it did help certain individual actors, so that's why I gave it a palm.
True. I'll go next. I gave it a palm, kind of the same thing as like it didn't do that well. Again, I liked it because of the content, but I do feel kind of weird about how things have played out for Omar Epps. I think the topic's great. I do think, like, yeah, like you guys said, storytelling was a little off every now and then. But I found this movie very, 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 very topical and important even to the day. So I wanted to give it that, and I'm happy John Singleton was able to make this movie. Because they probably wanted him to do a bunch of other things, but I'm happy he was able to make it. So I'm very appreciative of that, but it's just crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, I gave it a fist because Omar Epps needs to be a leading actor and stuff, and you know, I think a movie with him in the lead, like, is gonna get a fist from me anyway. And Tyra Banks, I thought, was great, and it's directed by a black dude. Did he write it too, or did somebody else write it?
Someone else wrote it.
But you know, just sort of, I feel like that needs to happen. Also, particularly since Omar Epps was such a big influence on me, it's like that's the cause. The cause is like leading black actors in movies that inspire other people to do more stuff. I thought that was great. And also just a couple of things that I haven't said about the movie yet that I also thought were just like really great directing wise. Like, I love that Michael Rapaport is yelling about him being on top while there's a George Washington picture behind him. Like, that was so cool. And I just thought other things about the directing were just really strong. So, yeah. And also, like, we were talking about how, like, it relates to things today, and, like, that's sort of, like, crazy. Didn't Michael Rapaport basically become this guy in real life? Like, he's not a white supremacist, but he's, like...
he's the exact opposite now. So now he's, like, over the top, like, pro-black people. So, like,
he's too far left.
He is extreme.
Doesn't he get dragged for stuff on Twitter?
But because, yeah, because he just does too much. Like, he is an ally, but he's like an uber ally. It's almost
so then
like
that's the cause, you know what I mean? That's the cause. Like, we got an uber ally out of this movie.
Yeah. I mean, like, now I'm thinking about it, he might be trying to compensate for the fact that he did this role. And he's like, I got to prove that I'm like nothing like this guy. Right. Well, I'm sorry to put you all through that, but hey, we did learn something and talk about good stuff today.
That's true. And okay, so plugs. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. You can follow me at John Braylock, JonBraylock on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, James.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy, jamesthirdcomedy.com. Third is 3RD.
Let me stop pretending like I ain't got Twitter and I don't talk to people on Twitter. Hit me on Twitter at Gerard Milligan. Let's chat. Blah, 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 blah. Bing about a boom. Talk about, you know, sunshine.
Bing about a boom.
Bing about a boom. Sorry, I've been watching The Godfather 2 recently, and it's just messed up my whole head. My whole way of life is just now tainted.
You can also rate and review us on iTunes. Please, if you give us a 5-star review, we will read your review on the air. Also, Astronomy Club has a show every second Monday of the month at UCB East Village, if you're in New York City, called Astronomy Club. Let's Talk About Race, baby. I think this one just passed, but next month, you know. All right, now I'm going to read some reviews. You guys ready for some 5-star reviews? We have so many now. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, lit.
Okay, here we go. I'm pulling up some of the fresh new ones. Again, I never really know which ones are the news, but here is one that definitely is new. This is 5 stars from a Shireka.
All right, Shireka.
Jay Sway. Great podcast. Can't say enough about Jonathan Braylock, Gerard Milligan, and in deep, low voice.
I hate this.
James the Third. Thought-provoking, entertaining, and good movie taste. What else can I say? A must-listen for all movie lovers and deep thinkers. Shout out my YouTube, ? Sure. YouTube. Wait, is it? What is this? Josue2451. Josue2451. Keep up the energy and good work.
Thank you.
Thank you. This one is called, this is by Dicer, D-I-E-C-E-R. Official Hancock Avengers podcast.
I hate this. Why was you? Why? Who is this?
Die, sir.
You know what? I don't like your encouraging this.
Funny, insightful, and real takes on movies makes this a good podcast. The relationship between all the hosts and the guest hosts makes this a great podcast. It's probably the best podcast to help prepare you for the forthcoming Hancock Avengers movie franchise. Also, shout out for the great audio production. It's a very well-produced show. Oh, you hear that, Producer Nick? Yeah! Get that shout out.
Producer Nick.
I know.
And then this one is by, I don't think I read this one, Gato Gordo.
I got it.
I jumped on this podcast with the Black Panther episode because this white man wanted a different perspective.
All right.
Respect.
All right.
I got hooked and have downloaded and listened to about 30 additional episodes, all of which are great.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The film rating system is provocative, and I started playing along at home. I rate the film reviewed before listening and see how vastly these three provocative, intelligent, and insightful men influence my views. They change greatly. Overall, a wonderful podcast that I recommend to everyone and rate it 5 stars and a white fist raised in a tribute. Love it. All right. Thank you guys so much. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Next week, what are we doing?
Wait. When does do we have to do? Okay, I'm gonna ask y'all this. We're on air, so I have witnesses or listeners. I love Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Okay, he's the number one.
I love him.
Star,
but
in
do
the
we?
World.
But some of these movies, right? Do we got Producer Nick? Like, come on, y'all. Do we have to do all these? Like, do we have to review this new one? Like, for real,
Rampage. I mean, it does come out.
You don't want to watch Rampage, Jarrah?
I mean. Like, I love The Rock. Y'all know that. I was a Brahma Bull fan back in the day.
All right,
hold on, John. I'm just saying.
What you got against? We just did Pacific Rim 2. What you got against Rampage?
A flying giant wolf in this.
I'm just saying, some of these movies, like when I'm looking at these Slater Rock movies, I'm like, bruh, you putting my love and you through the test. Like, this is like.
Like, you don't want to watch a movie based off a video game in which the only exercise is to destroy buildings?
Bruh, I saw one of the trailers, and it was Lily the Rock with a big gun and then a giant white monkey. And then it was like both of them took a deep
breath. You ready, buddy?
Yes. And it took a deep breath and both got ready for war together. I was like, I can't.
That's my friend.
I can't do this, man. I think it comes out soon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what? How did this seems like this would be right up your alley of things to.
I know,
watch,
I know,
Rampage.
I know.
The Rock is based off of video game at that.
It's got a
what?
James, I know. I feel like I keep going back to my favorite restaurant and getting my favorite meal, and they keep forgetting one of the special seasonings to it, and you're like, it's off. You keep making the meal off. But it's like you know,
it's got Negan in it though, from The Walking Dead.
That's not enough.
Yo,
it's not
Jeffrey
enough.
D. Morgan is in it?
It's not
I
enough.
I didn't even know that.
It's
all
not
right,
enough.
Well, I'm seeing it. I'm going to see it 15 times.
All right, next week, Rampage. Yeah. We'll see you next week. Peace.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The ghost with the most past due child support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!